This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, to say that I'm fired up about today is an understatement. I'm pretty excited about our topic and our guest today. But in addition to that, today's the day we've been anticipating and waiting for. It is the day of our webinar. And I'm going to, immediately following this program, at the top of the next hour, I'm going to be hopping on to a Zoom with those who have registered for our Zoom webinar. And you know that we do this quarterly to talk about a topic of importance that lives at the intersection of culture and Christianity. Today, we're going to take up the question, is Christianity true? Many have registered for this particular Zoom webinar. It might be our most highly registered for Zoom webinar, but many have registered for this Zoom webinar, and I think it's because so many people are either struggling with doubts themselves or love someone who is. And if you know someone who is, man, this is going to be hopefully very helpful for you. As you know, every generation has to answer the question, is Christianity true? But I do believe that there's some unique realities that are true for our generation. For example, historically, this question has been for those who are outside of the faith, non-Christians, have yet to believe, and maybe they have some intellectual or social barriers that are keeping them from faith in Christ. And certainly that audience still exists. But increasingly so, this is not a question that has to be answered for outsiders. This is a question that has to be answered for insiders, because there's so many, if the stats are true, within the Christian faith who are living with pretty significant doubts, that has even produced a movement known as the deconstruction movement. It also goes up under the name ex-evangelical movement. You may have heard of many people who used to profess to be Christians but no longer are so, or they have walked away from the major tenets of the Christian faith. So today, if you are registered, please join us. The best part about these webinars are the Q&A portion as well, where we get a chance to take your questions. So our team is looking forward to it, and we're going to see you at the top of the hour if you are registered. I also want to say thanks to our friends and partners who prayerfully and financially underwrite the program. If it were not for God's grace expressed through your generosity, we would not be here. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't every day take a moment to say thank you. So I want to say thanks to some of our new partners, friends, and supporters like Samuel, who is in St. John's, Michigan. Thank you for your generosity, Samuel. Or Nathan, who's in Garfield Heights, Ohio. Thank you, Nathan. Also, Mary, who's in East Lake, Ohio. Dennis in Elgin, Michigan. And Deborah, who's a first-time supporter in Miami, Florida. You guys are awesome. As we look at our month, we still are about $3,000 away from our budgeted goal for this month. So highly doable. As you listen to God, and if the program has been a blessing to you, I would encourage you to consider today being generous towards the program. You can call the number 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. And I want to say thank you in advance. Well, I think we all know that 2024 is a big year. We're in the midst of the height of a political season. And man, what a political season it's been. The question that I believe is on the forefront of many people's mind in our country is, can our politics be saved? American politics has become known more for its toxicity, its vitriol, its divisiveness than it has for its ability to solve problems and to further and advance democracy and freedom for all people everywhere and to produce human flourishing. This isn't just a concern within our country. I just recently came back from Ghana, West Africa, and in conversations with folks from around the world, you hear the concern that many nations have, as America used to be that city on the hill that people would look to as an example of the best that politics had to offer, to now be an example of what not to do. But I'm grateful that my guest that I get a chance to talk to today has a burden in her heart to see what he calls civic revival, to see a not only move of God in our country, but one that would also transform our politics. Justin Gaboni joins me now. He's an attorney, political strategist, and civic leader based in Atlanta, Georgia. He's also the co-founder and president of the AND campaign and the co-author of the book Compassion and Conviction. Justin joins me now. How are you, brother?
Doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. Tell a little bit before we dive into the question of can our politics be saved about the AND campaign. What's the mission of the AND campaign and why are you so passionate about it?
Well, the AND campaign is a Christian civic organization, and really what we're trying to do is raise civic literacy among Christians and give Christians a framework to engage politics in a more faithful way. And we think that means being less partisan, less ideological, and more focused on biblical principles.
Yeah, and ultimately that does play itself out in the policy arena, and I do want to get to that. But from your perspective, talk about your view of the state of American politics. If you were to give an evaluation, if you will, an assessment of the state of American politics, how would you describe it, Justin?
The word toxic comes to mind, inept comes to mind, and other places. I think we're in bad shape. I think our public discourse is really fractured, and obviously that's having an impact on our politics. I think, unfortunately, the extremes have too much of a say, and it's making a lot of people feel just kind of powerless, and it shouldn't be that way within, you know, our constitutional republic.
Yeah, it's interesting because I come at it from a different perspective than you as a pastor. Obviously, you're ordained, and I want to make sure I acknowledge that. But you come at this as someone who has been well-trained in the area of political strategy, you're a civic leader. But as a pastor, one of the things that I'm really concerned about, Justin, and I'd love to hear you comment on this, is that it seems like the state of our politics is actually driving a generation away from the church, where historically you can look at times like the American Revolution and the Great Awakening, where the church, I think, even during the civil rights movement, was a place where people felt like, hey, politics is expressing itself in a way that I identify with, and it drew them into the church. Now it seems like whatever's going on in this moment, it's driving a generation away from the church who's exhausted with our current form of political discourse. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think part of it is we've allowed politics to make hypocrites out of us. And younger people see it. The church, it's caused the church to lose credibility because we say we stand for one thing within the walls of the church. And then outside of that, by the way we conduct ourselves and sometimes, you know, who we support, we say something very different. We contradict ourselves. I also think that we've allowed our political affiliation to become religious in nature, and that our politics are kind of, it's a tail wagging the dog, right? The politics are driving us in a way that really should be set aside for our faith.
I really want to, and I have a burden in my heart. The reason why I had you on, why I've invited you on, is I want to do my best to try to equip, that's the goal of this program, our listeners to think through how do we engage in politics as a Christian? How do we engage in a way that bears faithful witness to Christ, even in a fallen and imperfect world? But some would say, Chris, that's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. So I guess I throw this question back at you, Justin. As bad as things have become in our current state of political engagement, why not just walk away? Why not just say, let the baby be thrown out with the bathwater and I'm not going to engage?
Well, for one, if we care about our neighbors, then we have to care about how, you know, how they're treated within the law and all those things and how they're provided for. So to walk away, I think would be to concede our influence in a way that I don't think is responsible. Everything may not go your way. Yeah, we have some serious problems within the system, but you can make change, and your vote, your voice does matter. The other thing I would add to that is that attitude almost says that God can't redeem politics. That it's too dirty, too nasty, too corrupted for the salt and the light to step in and actually have an impact. And I would completely reject that proposition.
You know, it's interesting. When we think of the word revival, I think most of us think of the great revivalists throughout church history, people like Billy Graham most recently, where you have some public meeting, a preacher preaches, people come to an altar. But historically, revival is very broad-reaching. It transforms not only the human heart, it starts there for sure, but it transforms the institutions in a community. It transforms the civic reality of a nation or of a particular part of the world. So when you say civic revival, that may feel like, for a lot, two words that don't go together, almost like an oxymoron. So what do you mean when you say civic revival?
Well, I would say the way that Christians are doing politics right now is broken. And when I think about revival, I'm thinking about us regaining the times that we've had throughout American history where we've actually done politics a lot better. So you say, when is that? It's never been perfect. Of course it's not. It's never been perfect. It never will be. But let's say, you know, you think back to when the Civil Rights Act was passed and all the people that sacrificed their lives and their jobs and everything else to make that happen. To me, that was a very redemptive Christian witness. And so my thought would be, we need to get back to that level of conviction, that level of compassion to redeem our public witness and revive our public witness in a way that makes us constructive actors, inspirational actors, aspirational actors in the public square.
So how does civic revival happen? We're going to take your calls on the other side of this break at 877-LIVE 675. You can join the conversation. Justin Gaboni says this: as Christians, we are called to civic and community engagement. We have a duty to impact culture in a manner that reflects the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. This commission includes participation in the political arena. So how should Christians engage in the political arena? I want to hear from you, 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come. Next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Here on Equip, it's our goal to help listeners like you to understand and apply biblical truth to the issues we encounter in our culture, our community, and our home. But we need your help. Will you join our family of Equippers by making an ongoing monthly donation to Equip? When you do, you'll have exclusive access to regular encouragement from me, as well as our Equipper webinars and other special offers. Become an Equipper today. Call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. We're about 43 minutes away from our next Equipper Zoom webinar. It's all taking place at the top of the hour. Is Christianity true? Can we prove that evidentially? Can we prove that ethically? Question today is not just is Christianity credible, but is it good for me, for my community, for women, for minorities, for the marginalized? Can we answer the ethical challenges to the Christian faith? We'll talk about that and so much more at the top of the hour, so make sure you're with us if you're registered for the next webinar. It's taking place in about 42 minutes now, so I'm pretty excited about that. Joining me today is Justin Gaboni. I really want to encourage you to get his book and read it. It's one of those must-reads in this season I think every Christian should engage in. It's called Compassion and Conviction, and it's really a guide. It's a guide on faithful civic engagement. My question to you today, and I'm going to ask Justin this question, is how should Christian engagement politically, Christian civic engagement, look different than that of non-Christians? How should Christian civic engagement look different than that of non-Christians? You can call the number, join the conversation, 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. So, Justin, what's your answer to that question? How should Christian civic engagement look uniquely different than those who are non-Christians?
I think, for one, it should be less self-interested. We know that we are supposed to love others. We're supposed to sacrifice for others. In fact, 1 John 3:16 tells us that love is self-sacrifice. And that's not just for people who are in our family or that are close to us. That, you know, that's for others. And so we have to be somewhat self-sacrificial there. And that's one of the things that I think we haven't necessarily gotten right. It should be very clear in within our politics that Christians are compassionate. That we understand the brokenness of this world and we care about the suffering and we're willing to prioritize that. But also our convictions should be clear and our principles should be clear. One of the sad things about politics is principles are only principles until they come into conflict with something else, which means that they're not really principles. For us, whether something's in our immediate self-interest or not, if it's a principle, we have to stand on it. And too often, we see Christians who say we stand for one thing, but when push comes to shove, we're willing to compromise that principle for our immediate self-interest. And I think those are some of the things that should distinguish Christian politics from, you know, what's going on in America today.
Yeah, and it sounds like what you're saying, Justin, and you articulated it well, but if I were to kind of verbalize it in a way that I'm hearing it, at least, is that what's ultimately important to us is not just winning elections. That if winning an election calls for us, in order to do that, to compromise our conviction, that exchange is not worth it. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I always say that we, you know, I'm a political strategist, which means I don't strategize to lose. But when in conflict, we have to choose the witness over the win. And I don't know that if you were to ask outsiders if that's the posture of Christians, they would say yes. That we think that they would choose the faithful witness over winning. But that's really what it is. We know that politics is important, but it's not ultimate. And people need to understand through how we act that we don't think it's ultimate, that we, you know, these are life or death issues, so they're not insignificant. They're not inconsequential, but they are not ultimate. And that's very important to keep in mind.
You know, it just is a reminder that, and I'm thinking in my Rolodex in my mind about the many candidates that I've seen who maybe didn't win the election, but their ideas and convictions were so strong that it shaped their party, either locally or beyond, and the ideas and the policies that came about later on. And I would agree with you. I think that we cannot make that exchange for you know, our convictions in order to win elections. The other thing that I hear you saying is the echoes of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 38 through 40, where Jesus tells us, in essence, that we're to love the Lord God, our God, with all our being, but we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That part of what my responsibility is when I walk into that voting booth, and not only then, but every day of my life, is to not just ask what is in Chris Brooks's best interest, but what's in my neighbor's best interest as well. Is that right?
Exactly. And even to take it further than the individual, it can't just be a question of what's in the interest of Christendom either. I think sometimes we get caught up in what I call the politics of Christian self-interest, where our number one priority and sometimes only priority is to make sure that we have all these ironclad protections for ourselves. And if we get to the poor, we get to our neighbors, we get to others, we'll get to them. But first, let's make sure that we've done everything we can to protect ourselves. I believe that when we see our maker, he's not going to say, well done, you did everything to protect yourself. That he would say, well done, you did everything you could to love and protect your neighbor.
Yeah, and let me just say, and this is where the counterbalance to everything we just said comes in, and that is we see over and again throughout Scripture times when the right thing for humanity did not feel like the right thing to humanity. That so often what God's prescription is for human flourishing is something that the rest of humanity may not think is popular or may not like. And so in this process of discerning, trying our best to, from God's word, discern, like, yeah, what's best for human flourishing? It may be things that the rest of culture may not like, but I would say we have to believe and trust that what the Lord gives us for human flourishing is good and right, even when it's not popular. We do so lovingly and respectfully.
Yeah, that is so, so very true. Being compassionate and caring about others does not mean doing it the way that conventional wisdom or polite society or pop culture would have us do it. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we have to affirm everyone's self-perception because that's what the world says the loving thing is. That's not the definition of love in the Bible. The love in the Bible talks about obedience and also truth. And so when we see ourselves taking care of others as being disconnected from what's actually true, then we're actually not helping them. There's an old saying that soft doctors make wounds stink. And what that means is that if a doctor is not firm enough, or even sometimes, you know, not willing to do what's necessary to get the infection out, even if that doctor thinks of themselves as the most compassionate person in the world, they're actually doing harm, right? They're actually not doing all that they could to be loving. And I think that's how God treats us, right? He's not a doctor that's so soft that he does not clean the wound. And we need to keep that in mind as we think about what love and compassion is.
So good. Let's go to Lorena, who's listening in Tampa, Florida. Lorena, thank you for giving us a call. What's your comment?
Yes, sir. I in recent interactions with friends that are both Democrat and Republican, one of the things that I've been able to do that takes it to a kingdom dynamic is that I've stopped identifying myself by a party. And as believers, I think that what we get confused with is we say, I am a Democrat or I am a Republican. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I am a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whenever I take the identity out of it, then we can have conversation and say, from a biblical perspective, this is what I believe and why I believe what I believe, separate and apart from the politics of it. And I've been able to have some of the most amazing conversations with people that have differing views, and when we come back to that kingdom dynamic.
Yeah, first off, I appreciate you giving the call, Lorena, and I so appreciate your comment. And I think, Justin, this goes back, if I'm listening to what Lorena is trying to communicate, I think this goes back to what you challenge us on, and that is, don't be intellectually lazy or unfaithful when you're engaging in politics. And a lot of times we allow these labels to become categories that allow us not to think deeply about the issues, because I'm just this label, and so that means I got to go along with whatever that group does, whatever group you identify with. And I think that what Justin's book does, for me at least, is challenges me to keep critiquing even when I'm within a group. Even if you are within the Republican Party or Democrat Party, you're there as a child of God first and foremost, as Lorena said, and we're there to bring about hopefully great civic revival. How does Christian political engagement look differently? We'll talk about that on the other side of this break with Justin Gabboni, next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Hey there, friends. Chris Brooks here. When you listen to Equip, you know I love to introduce you to some incredible guests and topics. But there's one person that I want you to meet more than anyone else. His name is Jesus, and he wants to have a genuine personal relationship with you. He even died on the cross to take the punishment for all of our sins so that we can join his eternal family. It would be my honor to introduce you to Jesus today. Simply call 877-548-3675. Again, give us a call at 877-548-3675. We're just about 29 minutes away from our Equipper Zoom webinar. Is Christianity true? If so, can we support that? Does the evidence support that? Is Christianity literally worth giving your life for, to trust in and follow Jesus? There are many, many saints around the world that are doing just that. They're laying down their life in commitment to their faith. Are they foolish for doing so, or is Christianity more than just mere myth or just another moral philosophy about how we should live our lives? In essence, we're asking the question, is Jesus Lord? Is he actually who he said he was? We'll talk about that and so much more. If you're registered, please make sure you're with us at the top of the hour, 28 minutes from now. It's going to be a great time, and your questions are going to be answered as best we can. And we're also going to give you some great resources by way of recommendation for you to go even deeper. And sometimes we attend workshops like this for ourselves, but sometimes we do it because we want to be able to give an answer to the questions that those we love are processing through. So make sure you're with us if you are already registered. If you're not a monthly partner, I want to encourage you to consider becoming so. So many wonderful benefits to being a monthly partner. 50% off Moody Resources. You get a chance to be a part of our Zoom webinars. But even more importantly, you join into this mission and have the deep, deep joy of knowing that you are helping to spread the good news of God's grace to a generation that desperately needs it. So all you got to do is call this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. So grateful to have the founder and president of the AND Campaign, co-founder and president of the AND Campaign, attorney, political strategist, civic leader, Justin Gabboni, with me today. Justin, you say that there's three pillars to civic revival. I'm just going to briefly mention the three, and I'd love to hear your thoughts or comment on how these three work together. You say family focus, healthy dialogue, engaged churches. How do these three work together to produce civic revival?
Well, the core of our society is the family. And so we want to make sure that people don't forget that when we're talking about culture, when we're talking about so many different things, that's where it starts. And I think we can lose sight of that because we get so individualistic that we don't even think about, you know, what it means, what role that family plays in God's design, and it plays a major role. And then, you know, our discourse is important. If we can't communicate, then we don't know what our neighbor needs, how our neighbor is suffering. If we don't take others seriously, if we don't respect what they say, then I really think it stops us from loving them as we love ourselves, right? That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so those are just a few of the things that we talk about, but the church has to be engaged. Again, there's room for us to do certain things as individuals. And every time we go vote, we don't necessarily vote as a church. We vote as individuals, but we are a church. We are a body. And so even outside of electoral politics, and that's what I want to point out to a lot of people too, your public witness is bigger than just electoral politics. So I'm not saying that the church should play the biggest role in electoral politics, but our public witness, you know, how we engage our neighbors, how we keep people connected and informed, says a lot and can do a lot in bettering some of these outcomes that we see. So that's part of civic revival.
So good. Let's go back to the phone lines. Joel has been patiently listening in Tampa, Florida. Joel, thank you so much for listening to Equip, brother. What's your question for Justin?
Yes. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. First time caller. Thank you for your program, Chris. And Justin, thank you for coming on and being able to explicitly explain how a Christian should behave and how we should be looking at our lives. And I think, gentlemen, the issue today is the lack of leadership in the churches. Lack of leadership in the churches is causing lack of leadership in our political standpoint of view, and where individuals are choosing parties more than they are choosing the scriptures. When we miss the point of the scriptures and what the scriptures say, how we should vote, how we should look at the political landscape, we are where we are today in the United States of America because of that, because of our lack of leaderships in our pulpits and in our churches. Hence why we have today what we have today in our political landscape.
Yeah, Joel, thank you so much for calling. Thanks for sharing your thoughtful comments. And obviously, as Justin just shared, want to have a healthy dialogue around it. I think that Joel brings up a tough but hard truth, and that is we do have to evaluate the leadership of the church to ask what is healthy leadership in a church look like. And I've seen it across the spectrum, to be honest with you, Justin. I've seen pastors who say, man, politics is not on the menu. We should not engage in any form or fashion, and civic engagement is not even talked about. I've seen it on the other end of the spectrum where you feel like every time you go to church, you're going to a political rally, or that the church exists only to mobilize civic engagement, and there's no focus on the gospel, no focus in on the lordship of Jesus Christ, no deepening of biblical knowledge or Christian faith. So what does healthy church leadership look like as you examine the scriptures, Justin?
Yeah, so I think we serve a God of order. And so we have to keep, and thank you to the caller. I think he hits it on the head. We have to be orderly. And so for the church, nothing comes before the gospel. That is our main focus. That being said, that's not disconnected from the issues that are going on in society. So to say that we are Christians and we're following Jesus and we're trying to be faithful, but we don't apply that to how we engage others, we don't use the influence and steward it well, I think is to miss something very important. What I think the main primary role of the pastor is in this situation is really discipleship in creating a framework to help people engage. It's not to say you have to vote for this person, you have to support this party, I'm going to bring up Biden every sermon or Trump every sermon. It's to say, here are the Christian principles. Here's the framework we've been given. Let me challenge you and edify you in how to apply these things in a faithful way. And what's important, Chris, to hang on to is it is a framework. So which means that Christians aren't always going to agree. And so we have to be very careful with saying, if you're a Christian, you have to vote this way or that way, or you have to support this or that. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes there's certain issues the Bible speaks clearly on, and we should, you know, we should address that in the right way. But in many, on many issues, there's a lot of different ways to get to a good solution. Sure. And so we have to allow for that, that disagreement.
I appreciate Joel giving us a call from Florida. So grateful for you, brother. 877-548-3675 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation. The question of the day, how should Christian political or civic engagement look different than that of non-Christians? You can call the number 877-548-3675. Or if you have a question for Justin, it's great whenever he's able to stop by, and it's an awesome opportunity for you to ask your question about, man, what does it look like for a Christian to engage civically, politically in a healthy way? 877-548-3675. Justin, how do you personally balance your time, talent, treasure, investment between local engagement and national engagement? It feels like so many people that I know are totally enamored with what's happening nationally, who the next president will be, senators, House of Representatives, Supreme Court, but don't know who the head of their school board is, don't know who's leading out their police department until something goes wrong, is not engaging in their local library or local governmental affairs. How do you balance that?
Yeah, sadly, and I think this is what you're getting at, all politics has become national. It used to be that all politics were local. Now all politics are national. And so we treat national elections like they're the most important and the only important thing. I think that's wrong. I think that's a mistake. You're going to have more of an impact on a local level. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't care about the federal or national level, but your impact is going to be bigger on the local level, which I think helps people not feel so powerless, not feel like what they do doesn't matter. It actually does matter a lot if you are consistent on a local level. And so you hit it on the head. I think we should be far more focused on local things than on the national. And I hope it gives us hope too, because what I want people to realize and what I've been saying all over the country is, regardless of who wins in November, who becomes the president, you and your church can have a greater impact on the people in your community than whoever the president is.
That's a powerful statement, and I wonder if most believers actually think that that is true. Justin Gaboni is a thought leader. He is not only an attorney, not only a political strategist and civic leader, but he's also an ordained minister and someone who takes the scriptures seriously, and all of that is reflected in the book Compassion and Conviction, produced by the AND Campaign. I want to encourage you to find out more about the AND Campaign, about Justin, and about the book. You can go to our website, equipradio.org. We are just 17 minutes away from our next Zoom webinar. I can't wait for you to join me. If you're registered, it's going to be a great time. We'll be right back right after this. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Man, time flies when you're talking to a guest about politics, and in particular, if that guest is thoughtful and committed to Christ in his heart. Justin Gaboni is such a guest, and it's been a privilege to have him stop by. You're a blessing, brother, and I'm super grateful for you. Listen, the phone lines are just about full, and we don't have the time to take every call. So what I'm going to do is try to ask a couple of questions, and you, as quickly as you can, Justin, give your best one-minute answer. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right, let's do it. Sandra wants to know, how do you vote if none of the candidates seem to align with your values? Is not voting an option? What do you recommend?
What I recommend is writing down your five top issues, seeing which person gets closer to those five issues. And if it's close enough, just saying, you know what, I know this isn't perfect, but I'm going to go with one of these two or three people, one of these two or three people. And then remembering that our public witness isn't just our vote. So even if that person does something you don't like, you're not responsible for that, but you are responsible for speaking up and saying that you disagree.
I like that answer. Let's go real quickly to Mary in Tamarack, Florida. Mary, wanted to quickly get you on. What's your question for Justin?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a part of a local precious church. I love my pastor, but he completely avoids anything that even smells political. How can I gently and respectfully encourage him to address us voting and having this kingdom mindset?
Great question. Justin?
Yeah, I think, again, we want to be careful because, you know, sometimes we can have unfair expectations of pastors, too. But I think what you would want to try to do is say, hey, can we address some of the principles that might go into us voting and just election season and politics in general? And I think it's best when we focus in on the principles. Definitely don't want to ask him to be partisan or to give him MSNBC or Fox News approved sermon. But certainly we can get to some of the principles that matter, because I think it helps us have clarity as we go in to do something that's very important.
Yeah, just know, and I'm speaking as a pastor, there is enormous pressure you feel every Sunday, because you know that there are two groups of eyes looking at you, those who want you to stand up and full-throat endorsement and give a full-throated endorsement of one candidate or the other. And what you're trying to do every Sunday is remind people that Jesus is Lord. So I do think that the best approach as a pastor would be if a member came to me and said, how do I think biblically about political engagement? Can you talk about that, pastor? And I think getting a pastor to help you to think biblically about political engagement is a great starting point. And I don't see many pastors saying no to that sincere request. How do I think biblically about political engagement? And maybe even passing on this wonderful book by Justin Gaboni as a gift to your pastor as well. There's a lot of people who are concerned, Justin, about political violence. How do we help to prevent that from happening?
Yeah, I think we all have a role to play in that. That's a really good question. And the first thing, again, is to try to provide perspective. Violence is the last thing we want to happen. We have a civil society for a reason, so that we don't have might is right. Violence is the last thing we want to happen. And the folks who get violent, it's actually going to be counterproductive for whatever issue that they're pushing, right? It's shown that once you take it there, it doesn't make people agree with you. So I think we just need to talk about the importance of civility. We need to exercise that when we speak to people and focus on hearing people out, rather than automatically just trying to win the argument. Build relationships and watch what you retweet and share on social media. Don't put things out there that's going to rile people up and bring them to that point.
Justin, I'll end with this question. What's your hope for those who read the book and even those who get engaged with and even support the AND campaign? What's your ultimate hope?
My ultimate hope is that Christians begin to see politics differently and know that a gospel-centered view of society, culture, and politics is far better than a ideological conservative or ideological progressive one, and that we all have a responsibility, regardless of what side we may lean to challenge and be honest when we're in the public square.
I appreciate your answer to these questions. I know they're not easy, but yet you've been thinking about them deeply. I love the thought of writing down your top five policy issues. And then I would say to my friends who are listening, we have a responsibility to be informed and educated on these policy issues. We can't just go off of sound bites or brief news segments that we get on our nightly cable news shows. We got to go deep enough to understand what the issues are well enough to inform how we engage and how we talk about them with others. Compassion and Conviction is the name of the book. Justin Gabboni, co-founder and president of the AND Campaign. You can find out more at equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Justin, you're a blessing, brother. Thank you for carving out time. Thanks for how you're serving the body of Christ, broadly our country as well. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for the invitation, Chris. I enjoyed it.
Friends, you can find out more again at equipradio.org. All right, we're about 8 minutes away from our Zoom webinar. Today, as you know, we are totally committed to helping you to answer the question, how does a person know if Christianity is true? This is important to me because ultimately the goal of this program is that people might know that Jesus is Lord, that the only way of us experiencing the hope of the salvation that our hearts and our lives long for is through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if that's important to you, I would ask that you would consider partnering with us. Your generosity helps us to give biblically faithful and relevant answers to the questions that a generation is asking about Jesus Christ, about life, and about those things that are most important. So can you stand with us today? I would love if five friends today say, yes, I'll stand with you today. Maybe your gift of $50 or $100 or more can make all the difference. Here's the number to dial, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Or go to equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. And I'll say thank you in advance. All right, friends. We're going to get started in just about 7 minutes. Until then, as always, remember, Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.